Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's the Stones bringing us back 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. I'm responsible for the chaos around here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Cliff Inico. Cliff is the is one of the great small business attorneys of all time, a prolific writer, author, especially award-winning author, but a prolific writer. His columns are awesome. Succeedinginyourbusiness.com is his website. Folks, if you go there, you will become smarter. I promise you, and you'll thank me later. Hey, Cliff, thanks for being here. We were talking earlier about compensating employees for their sweat equity with stocks. One of the things that that does, though, by definition, is it makes them a minority shareholder in a company where the shares of that company, we're presuming it's a corporation with shares, with shareholders, but those people become, by definition, minority shareholders. And minority shareholders in a private company where there's no aftermarket for the shares is not in a really great position. And so if you agree to maybe become a partner in a company, I know you got a letter on this, a question on this once recently. If you agree to become a partner in an entity like this, going, you know, from day one and you're a minority shareholder, you don't have a lot of leverage, do you?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the first rules in representing any minority investor is you never want to be a minority owner in a family-owned business unless you are a member of the family. You know, if you are,
right.
It really is. If you're marrying into the family,
and we're probably talking blood here too, right?
yeah. But if you're a long-term employee, and especially if you have what I call the keys to the kingdom. I know a lot of law firms like this where the receptionist slash admin person is the most valuable person in the company. They know every one of the clients. You know, they know more than the attorney.
And where the bodies are buried.
That's exactly right. That's, you know, you can become indispensable to a company in a situation like that. But there are some things, I mean, if you're going to do a deal like this, now I'm representing the investor now. I always try to see if I can get some basic protection so that they don't get jerked around a lot, because that happens a lot in small companies. You know, when they want to get rid of you, they don't just, you know, terminate you. What they do is they make your life so miserable that you just get up and quit, is what happens after a point. You just can't take it anymore. And there's not a whole lot you can do to protect yourself against that, but there are some things that you can do, you know, that will at least give you a little bit more power than what your shareholding would represent.
You got to worry about dilution. You got to be worried about the majority diluting your values. The majority.
Yeah, well,
let's
talk about dilution, because there's a lot of you know. I mean, if you're only getting 1 or 2% of the company, I mean, you're not really that.
You're already diluted.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, you're just getting the shares. This is a gift, really. You're getting a gift of, you know, percentage of the future profits and losses of the business.
You can call yourself an owner now, and that's about it.
Right, but let's say that you're buying 20% of this company and you're investing in it. Then you are concerned about dilution. Dilution simply means it has to do with percentages. Once I give you 100 shares of stock, no one can take that 100 shares away from you. But that 100 shares represents a certain percentage of the company. And if I keep issuing shares to other people, that percentage gets lower and lower and lower. Now, of course, I'm getting diluted too. So, you know, in a very simple example, you and I have 50-50 ownership of a company. We bring in, you know, Joe for 10%. We now own 90% of the company. We're still equal. We're 45-45, and Joe owns 10%. But a very interesting thing happens here. If we give Joe that 10% in voting shares, like I talked about before, now he runs the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say to yourself, well, how can he run the company with only 10% of the shares? And the answer is because we're equal shareholders, 45-45, he now becomes the kingmaker. If you and I disagree on something,
he can go either way.
He
becomes the John Roberts of your Supreme Court. So
that's exactly right.
So here's one thing to think about, though. I want to ask you this question. What do you think about if you, so if I were buying into your company and you're going to give me 20% and you and your wife or your child or whatever owns the other 80% and I'm worried about my leverage. What if I said, okay, I'll do this, but one of the stipulations is we have to create a board of directors with at least five board members and the three of us owners have to unanimously agree on who those that board is. It can't be all your family, and the board decides things, and they have to. Hopefully, the idea is they would do it correctly. What do you think about the board idea?
Yeah, well, the board idea is good. You could also do what's called a supermajority voting provision, where you can say, you know, generally speaking, majority rules, but with respect to certain big decisions, and you'd make a list of these, and you put them in the agreement, you know, if it's one of these things we're voting on, it's got to be 100%. I have a veto mm-hmm. power over this. I can mm-hmm. say no if I want to. That's one way to get protection. The other is to create a board of directors. By the way, you should always have an odd number of people on your board of directors.
And
never, ever do a board.
And typically more than three.
Yeah, 1, 3, 5, 7, that's customary. Yeah.
But the other thing to remember, though, Cliff, is if you're going into this, if the other people bow up and violate this, you have no recourse but to take them to court. I mean, you have to. That's how far you have to go. And now we've thrown down the gauntlet. And so you have to. This is why partnerships are tough. That's all there is to it, folks. And this is a kind of partnership.
I mean, look, I will tell you that some of the ugliest cases in all the legal case books are the case books that involve breakups of family-owned businesses.
Oh yeah, very ugly. Quick break. Another question we're going to talk about. Should you buy a business in troubled times? After the break, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.